Well, welcome to the Sunday message for February the 28th, 2021. Before we get into the word, I'm just going to ask Janet to pray for us and trust for a blessed time with him and with the Holy Spirit and the word.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. You are such an awesome, mighty, wonderful God. And thank you for this precious word which you have laid on Graham's heart today, Lord. Thank you, Father, that it will have far-reaching effects. Lord, thank you for your anointing, which breaks every yoke of bondage. And thank you for transformation, renewal of minds, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the integrity of your word. Your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper in Yeshua's mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen to that. Let's turn in our Bibles to a very well-known scripture to us. One that we've often referred to, but let's look at a new angle. Mark chapter 9 from verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Yeshua said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Yeshua saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Yeshua took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Praise God. Well, you see, the important phrase here that I would like to focus on is the simple phrase, "if you believe." If you can believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. The title of this message is "All Things Are Possible to Him Who Believes." Now you see, the big danger right here is this. You and I read a scripture like that, and something starts to happen in our internal thinking process. What I would like to do is just expose what so often happens. The devil's strategy to deny us a great blessing. In fact, not just a blessing, life itself. This is a common tactic of his whenever children of God approach the Bible. You see, it's so easy just to read that phrase, "all things are possible to him who believes," and pass on. In a sense, that's what the devil would love you and I to do. You see, what is his narrative? You and I stumble upon a small scripture like that, seemingly insignificant part of the whole life of the Lord Yeshua. And what is the thinking process? "Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Just pass on," you see. "Not relevant. Don't look. Just keep going. Just keep going." That is what the devil will say. However, if you don't really want to listen to the devil saying that, and you say, "My goodness me, all things are possible," he comes with another strategy. Do you know what that strategy is? You see, deep down, we live in a world where most of what everybody says, they don't really mean. I remember when I went to Macro to buy a dishwasher, and a washing machine. In the queue there was a man standing selling insurance, you see. And he started with his insurance sales pitch. And he went on and on. And part of it was, if anything happens, if anything, anything happens, I will personally make sure that we send out technicians to your house to restore your implement to the place where it was when you bought it. And if they cannot do that, they will send it to the manufacturer and it will be replaced. Now he's talking about a 5-year guarantee plan. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I know? What guarantee have I got that you will still be working in Macro for the next 5 years? You understand? What he was saying, if you actually had to analyze it, was the biggest load of trash. But you see, we're so acclimatized to people speaking this stuff, we just carry on, so be it. And hopefully, the thing won't break down, so he won't have to keep his promise, you understand? But here we are in a world where most of what everybody says, and what we even say, we don't really mean it. The classic example, of course, is you explain to somebody some difficulty that you are going through with, and they say, oh, we'll pray for you. Have you heard that one? Have you said that one? No, I know there are folk that genuinely mean it, and I know they will pray. But all too often, you see, what is, I will pray for you, actually. If you have to analyze it, what the person is saying, keep your troubles to yourself. I can't really help you. In fact, I'm not going to help you even if I could. But I will, you know, maybe if you don't really mind, pray for you. Meaning, the moment you are in my presence, I've forgotten. You see. So, with that sort of world view in mind, we come across a scripture like this, where the Lord Yeshua says, if you can believe, all things are possible. And you think, oh yes, very interesting, wonderful, let's move on, kind of thing. But you see, hold on. First of all, let's ask ourselves, who is speaking these words? These words have been uttered by the individual who, for your information, right now, runs the entire universe. Do you think somebody who runs the entire universe would know a thing or two? Do you think that somebody who is in charge of every single planet, every galaxy, the Milky Way, everything, that person would just throw about words lightly? If you consider that those worlds, as it were created by his word, do you think he would say frivolous things like, oh well, you know, maybe if you believe something could happen? You see, we've got to approach the words of God with fear and trembling. When the Lord Yeshua says something, he says what he means, and he means exactly what he says. Amen? And you and I, if we want to live life to its fullest, must pay attention. We must regard it as such. So you see, if the man says, if you can believe, all things are possible. What he actually means is, all things are possible. And you see, you come to that conclusion. All things, and the devil jumps into action. He says, oh no, oh no, oh no. He's only speaking about spiritual things. So what he really means was that all spiritual things, such as peace and joy and happiness, those are possible. If you sort of believe. Hold on. What is the circumstance in which he is speaking these words? It's not a case of, well, sir, I know your trouble with your child is terrible, but if you can believe, I will comfort you. I will give unto thee peace. I will explain why God has decided to let thy child suffer. You see, that's theology right there, trying to explain away what God is trying to say. Amen? So we've got to strip it away. The circumstance is the child is sick. He's sick because of a spiritual affliction, a spirit affliction rather, a wicked evil spirit affliction, a demon. He's got a physical need to be restored to health. And the Lord, speaking to this man who has tried everything and everything has failed, nonetheless says to him, if you can give me faith, all things are possible. All things are possible, including the deliverance of your child. Amen. And while he's saying to this man, all things are possible, those words are being recorded to be written down later by John Mark in this fashion, speaking to you and I, generations to come, people, children of God. If you can believe, all things are possible. Did the Lord turn around to Mark and say, don't write that, don't write that. Water it down. We don't want people to get deceived. We don't want people in the future to live in cloud cuckoo land and think that they can have heaven on earth. No, don't write that. Just water it down. Say, something's could happen for you. Did he say that? Oh, no. Unequivocally. All things are possible. Say to yourself, all things are possible. Now let me enumerate what all things are possible according to the God of this universe. All things are all things. Did you know that? Everything that you and I have a legitimate right to. Happiness, peace, joy, financial prosperity, health, life itself, your dreams coming true. Listen, if you and I can dream something, it becomes a thing. And all things are possible. Can you say amen? All things are possible. This morning, God is speaking to us and saying to us, without any contradiction, all things are possible. You can have that house. You can have that job. You can have that position. You can have the desires of your heart, godly desires in your heart. All things are possible. Now you see right there, we can go, praise God, hallelujah, and we should. But before we go that route, and please I need to explain this because you see, this is where we've gone wrong. All things are possible. However, with every single promise of God, terms and conditions apply. Let me just say that again. With every single promise of God, terms and conditions apply. So you see, before we run off and say all things are possible, it's going to happen, hallelujah, let's look at the terms. What did he say? What did the creator of the universe say? Exactly what did he say? There's a big condition, you see. If you can believe, all things are possible. So you see, now here's the next step and the process of undermining what God says. The average Christian looks at that and says to himself, well, I do believe. I believe. I know God can do it, you see. I know God can do it. I believe all things are possible, but my experience has been my mother died of cancer. Somebody lost his business. I myself am struggling from day to day, but I believe. So in other words, we've tried to put the scripture into practice. It doesn't work. Therefore, he didn't really mean what he said. You see? And because of that, what do we do so often? Just pass by and say, oh, well, it's not really true. But you see, the problem with that is the moment you and I, in our heart of hearts, say that, well, maybe this part of the Bible isn't true, it doesn't stop there. Because you see, if the Lord himself said one thing and it wasn't really true, what guarantee have we got that the rest is true? Amen? And you see, the moment that bit of doubt creeps in, failing to fulfill the condition, which is, if you can believe. Now you see, what God encourages us to do, what God expects of us, is when we come across something that doesn't seem to work, we need to dig deeper. Instead of the lazy way of just shrugging our shoulders and moving on, we need to stop and say, this isn't working. There must be a reason. And the reason cannot be with Almighty God or His Word. There must be some misunderstanding in my thinking. And so often that is the case. You see, that small phrase, if you can believe, is not referring to some vague mental assent. You look at this child's father. What was his words after he heard that? I do believe. And right after that he says, help my unbelief. What he was really saying is, I want to believe. I have evidence to suggest that you can do it. But somehow, deep inside of me, because of all the trauma I've gone through, I'm battling to really believe. You see. And before you and I can write that scripture off as not applicable, we have to understand a few things. And you see, the understanding is this. When the Lord said, if you can believe, He's talking about real belief. In other words, total conviction that it's possible. You see, that kind of belief does not come just through intellectually deciding, I will go along with it. It's much more than that. In Ephesians, Paul speaks about the spirit of the mind, speaking about what is actually going on in the subconscious mind. And so often, you see, we base our Christianity, our approach to the words of God, on what our mind chooses to think at the time, but not what our subconscious mind actually believes. You see? If this man could just believe, he could have had anything he wanted. And that is what the Lord is saying to you and I. Now, you see, there's a bit of information that we need to have. And so often, because as Christians, we pass by things and we say, oh, well, it doesn't work, so I won't bother about it. I'll just carry on with life as normal. We don't stop. And this is the purpose of this message, to encourage you and I to stop and think. And it takes humility to realize, listen, maybe I don't understand. Maybe I don't fully understand. Maybe it's not working for me because of my ignorance, because I'm missing something. It takes humility to acknowledge that. And so often, especially Christians of long standing, will say, oh, I know that scripture. We've seen people say that it doesn't work, so don't bother me. Once again, hold on. Who is speaking? Amen? Who is speaking? Now, here's information you and I need to know. Something we've grown to realize. In the Bible, very often, it seems as though the terms faith and belief are used interchangeably. And because they are, in a sense, very similar, they can very often be used interchangeably. But you see, if you inspect this thing closely, we find that there is a subtle difference. I'd explain it this way. You see somebody approaching from a distance. You'd say, here comes a human being, and you'd be right. But as they get closer, you begin to distinguish certain things about that human being. For example, is it a male or is it a female? You see, as you look at things closer, we discern certain distinctions. There is a subtle distinction between faith and belief. Hebrews 11 verse 1 makes the statement, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The spiritual substance of things hoped for. And you see, the way it works is this. If you and I have this substance of faith, that substance enables us to believe, to really believe. Amen? Let me put it another way. If we do not have enough of that substance called faith, even though we might want to believe, we might see that it is good to believe, we might even say we believe, The truth of the matter is, we don't really believe. Let me explain it this way, as I have in the past. You go to the shop, you want to buy something. Before you can buy something, what have you and I got to have? We must have the necessary resources, finance. If we do not have the necessary finance, we cannot buy. The goods are available. Nobody doesn't want us to have them. In fact, the shop would love you to take them. But there's a condition. You see, there's a condition. You must hand over the appropriate amount of finance. Exactly the same thing happens when it comes to the place where we can expect God to provide, whatever it may be. We have to have enough of the substance on this earth in our spirit man called faith. And once we have sufficient of that spiritual substance called faith, then we are able to believe. The moment we can believe, all things become possible. Let me just say that again. The moment you and I have sufficient faith for anything, we are able to believe, really believe. The moment we really believe, everything becomes possible. Because we are dealing with the power that created the entire universe. Did you know that? God created the universe by faith. Exactly the same process. He had the universe in his heart, in the spirit. And then he spoke it into existence. He released his faith with his words, and boom, it happened. And you and I can produce the same result in our lives. You see, now the next thing that needs to be said is that faith can be developed. The point is, like this man, he was sitting there, or standing there, or crying there with his child. He was honest enough to say, I don't have enough faith in this situation. But you see, the Lord came along with his faith and helped him. But the message goes out, you and I might be sitting in a position where we do not have sufficient faith. We can't honestly say we believe. We know God wants us to have it, but we cannot honestly say we believe that it's ours. You see? And here it is. You might say, I can't believe at this stage. But if we understand that faith, of which everybody has been given a measure, can grow. So you see, if you understand that, the way to approach these things is to say, Lord, this is what you've promised me. I can't really say I believe at this stage, but let me get my faith into action. And you see, that's the process of developing your and my faith. There's certain things you and I can do if we realize our faith isn't up to scratch and we can get it there. But you see, in the back of our minds, please note something. If you can get your faith together, you and I can get our faith together, the window of possibilities becomes infinite. Just think about that. The window of possibility becomes infinite. And you see, the beauty about the faith process is this. It doesn't matter where you and I are at, who you or I am, our background, our education or lack thereof, our skills, etc. It doesn't matter. When we grasp this fact that whomsoever who is prepared to pay the price to develop their faith for them, all things become possible. Now please, once again, there's misunderstanding about this, and the impression that I don't want to leave us with is this, that, oh, you just develop your faith and boom, God does it from heaven. Occasionally it works like that, for information. But you see, as James teaches us, faith without any action, without works, is sterile, dead. And you see, you and I, in the process of developing our faith, need to also ask ourselves this. And this is the whole subject of wisdom. Wisdom is faith in action, the word in action. You see, I have a desire for a certain thing, be it health, certain freedom from some addiction or sickness or whatever. And you see, if we understand, listen, give faith to God and it can happen. We develop our faith. But the very next question is, what must I do with this faith? How do I release this faith? You see, and this is where you and my relationship with the King of Kings becomes so vitally important. Because you and I will not develop our faith outside of that relationship. You see, this is not, how shall I say, a gimmick. Give God the faith and like an auto teller, he hands over what you want. It's not that clinical. It's not that simple. And anybody who criticizes this message on that basis, please listen for a few more minutes. You see, part of this whole faith process is putting faith to practice where you and I are at. Faith does grow. But you see, it's like exercise. You've got to use what you have. You've got to burn it off for that faith to be replenished in greater measure. Does that make sense? You see, I might say, you know, I'd really like to work as a particular operator. And you say, Lord, you want me to succeed. That's my heart's desire. And God says, yes, that's for you. The next question you have to ask yourself is, Lord, what must I do about it, you see? And very often, this is where we miss it, you see. The answer is so practical. Maybe you need to get yourself into some form of training program to get started. Amen? Do something. God, I want a job. I'm without work. Well, there's work out there for you. What must I do? Well, do whatever comes your way. Don't complain, just do it. Get started. Do you understand? It's very practical, this whole business. There was a stage when I was in the traveling ministry and I was single and I said, Lord, I'd like to get married. I need a wife. And the Lord said, that's fine. And then he said something else. Get going. And I said, well, Lord, what must I get going with? Can't order the wedding dress, etc. yet. I don't know the size. No, the Lord said to me, go and take ladies out. You see, up till then, my social skills were very, very lacking. And God was trying to get me to break down this fear of others, especially ladies, and grow up, basically. And so I did that. I faithfully took out girls. Wherever I went, I spoke to the pastor, said, please, would you mind if I take so-and-so out? And I did it all above board, not as some sort of creep. You understand. And I had some interesting discussions. I grew, I learned, and it wasn't long before God blessed me with a beautiful wife. Amen. Ironically, she was the one that wouldn't go out with me to start off. But that's God for you. You understand. What I'm trying to encourage us is to increase our vision. Amen. Don't think things are hopeless. Despite COVID, despite whatever's going on in the earth, listen to the words of the Creator of the entire universe. He speaks to you and I with unequivocal boldness, telling us, listen, all things are possible to the one who believes. What is our response? Thank you, Lord. This is what I want. This is my desire. Help my unbelief. Let me get my faith into gear. What must I do? And you see, the way of getting you on my faith into gear is to feed it properly. That's the start. It's just like exercise. First of all, you feed it. And what do we feed our faith with? The precious word of God. The way to do it actually is when you see something in the Bible, a promise that fits what it is that you desire, that is the scripture to feed on. And I'm not talking about read every now and then. I'm talking about feed on. Get your spirit man to absorb it. This is something I've learned to do. When there's a need, I find the appropriate scripture and then I meditate. But it's not just let it go through my brain. I absorb it. I absorb it. I get my spirit to, in a sense, envelop the thing and to suck the faith out of it. It's very much like a vision the Lord gave me of these big pythons. I don't know if you've seen these videos, but pythons, these big ones, are able to swallow an entire animal. There are videos of them swallowing an entire cow, an entire springbok. Now you see what happens. The tendons of their jaws are very weak, or loose basically, so they're able to distend their jaw. And then they swallow the entire beast, slowly but surely. They constrict it and kill it. And then with their jaw, they actually envelop the whole thing. They don't look like a snake. They look like a lump of snake skin, massive bump where this animal is. And what starts then? The process of absorbing, digesting and absorbing. Apparently these snakes can go for years after a meal like that. But you see what happens. You come across the word and you realize it's far too big for me. Even if a statement like all things are possible, what have we got to do? Distend the jaws of our intellect. Amen. Distend them. Just swallow the whole thing anyway. Amen. Envelop the word. Listen to me. Envelop the infinite word. As we do that, we start to, with our spirit man, extract the necessary nutrients, spiritual nutrients, that boost our faith. And we may not even feel a thing. In fact, we won't. But you see what is happening. While we're absorbing those nutrients, we're absorbing them. Your and my faith is beginning to grow. It's a spiritual thing. And as you and I continue to do this on a regular basis, A, and B, exercise our faith. Step out in as far as we can with what we know, what we can do. Do what we can with what we have. That's always what Janet and I do when we're faced with what seems to be an insurmountable problem. We just say to ourselves, before we do anything, let's sit down, have a cup of tea, and then let's just do what we can with what we have. And it's amazing as we get going, you see, things start to happen. God starts to get involved. But you see, it's not just us getting active. At the same time, what do we have to do? Feed. We feed our spirit man with the precious word of God. Not just reading past scriptures. All things are possible to him. Oh, so let's go on to the next scripture. I know that. No. No, no, no. Be like that python with your spirit. Take the word. Bite off more than you can chew. Amen. In this business, you have to bite off more than we can chew, because the Bible, let me tell you, every single word is more than you and I can actually chew with the brain, just normal intellect. We have to stretch. Stretch. You see, and once we start to understand this process, that's when we position ourselves to see the hand of the one who spoke those words, bringing them to pass. Amen. The hand that created the universe beginning to work on your and my behalf. All because we've taken the trouble to believe what he said and to act on it. Humble enough to learn what we have to learn in the process. And please, faith is something we have to continually work at. But realize something. If we do, all those dreams, all those aspirations, all our fondest wishes, all things become possible. Amen.